Thank you so much, Phyllis. Happy Sabbath, everyone. It is such a blessing to be in God's house and to see all of you. I'm very excited every time I'm in God's house, and I trust that you are excited to be here as well. It is such a joy to think on the call that God has given to His church, especially for these last days. And I'm excited to be here and to be a part of God's beautiful family. And I'm excited to see 10 young people. Last night I heard some testimonies. Some of them thought they were not so young, but if you're not 100, you are super young. So you're all young people that have finished your course. And there's something about that song that Rosalie and Murchis sang, "I Will Go." It talks about it doesn't matter what. It's funny because last night as I was just resting and meditating on just the last time on the message for today, I heard them practicing that song, and as I listened to the words of it, I thought, this is very fitting. And it's a very, very important thought of, I will go. And it doesn't matter what comes in our way, that idea of believing that God will be with us and believing that God will guide us, that is so vital as we prepare to be more involved in God's work. So it is my privilege to be here with you. I just want to join Phyllis in welcoming everyone. Church is packed today. What a blessing. Yeah, we need a graduation every day. Every Sabbath, rather. But we are glad that you're here. Your families have come to support you, families and friends. And so it is a very high and special day. Well, I think Daryl is Daly's trying to just adjust our lighting for our screen. I have something here on the screen I'd like to be sharing from. Before we get into our message this morning, I'd just like to have a word of prayer as we open the Word of God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful privilege of coming before you. We thank you for the opportunity to open your word. We thank you that you have brought us here this morning to listen to you. We pray in a very special way that you will open our hearts and that you will bless us with the message from heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. A message of consecration is entitled, In His Footsteps. In His Footsteps. We are living in very interesting times. A time when many people are wondering what will take place next in our world. In fact, some people wonder what things would be like or will be like in the next couple of years in our world. Many people are troubled. Many people wonder as it relates to the various activities in our world today. This is a very interesting year. It's the first year in the past maybe 7 years that I have been in only one country all through the year. And that's very strange for me. If you understand a little bit about my work, then you will understand why I say this. Because normally, within the year, for 7 to 8, even to 9 months out of the year, I'm traveling to different countries. And teaching health evangelism, reaching out to different places of the world, different countries, various continents. But throughout this year, it has been a very interesting one. And as I think about this year, and as I think about this graduation, I wonder and I ask myself the question, is it possible that this could be the last graduation, the last group of students that we have at Eden Valley Institute? Think about what I'm asking. Could it be? Our world has changed drastically since the beginning of 2020. And what's going on in our world right now is causing a lot of uncertainty in the minds of many people. People are wondering, what's next? And so, in his footsteps, I like what the Bible states in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk," how? "Even as he walks." And that gives me a beautiful promise, because it doesn't matter what's going on in our world today, I need to walk as Jesus walked. It doesn't matter what we're facing in our world, we have a special work to do in these last days and these troublesome times. And then John chapter 20, verse 21, the Bible states, "As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." And so as I look a little bit and some of the things that's going on in our world today, just across various continents, we've seen the fires in Australia, we've seen the fires also in Paris, we've seen earthquakes, great big ones in Alaska earlier. Throughout this year, COVID obviously has struck the entire world. We're seeing that people are lining up for survival. But the greatest lineup for survival should be where people are lining up looking for some power, someone greater than anything in this world. And with all of what's going on in our world, we see that folks are wondering, what's going to be the next step in this world? In fact, it's not even so far. We're talking about fires in Paris, fires in Australia. Our own campus experienced the fire that was so close. And so there's so much going on. Now, I spent some time this week looking in the news, the weather. And if you've been following, you would have known that in Central America, it's been a very interesting week. In Honduras, Guatemala, and many other countries in Central America, thousands have died and thousands are left without homes. People are in distress. Two hurricanes back to back, Eta and Iota. And when we look at these things, we see what's going on in our news, and we have these 10 people graduating today. My question is, how will we impact our world with the realities that exist today? How will we truly impact our world with what we're dealing with today? Look at this. Just a few of the statistics just came out this week from Central America. In Honduras, over 14,000 people died. Thousands without housing. And it is showing that all across Nicaragua and Honduras and all these countries, Guatemala, people are left without homes. People are wondering. And so my question is, how will we impact this world? What will we do as missionaries? What will we do as those that are finishing a missionary training program? What will we truly do to impact what's going on in our world? What would Christ do? If we're going to follow in his footsteps, the question then is, how did he walk? How did he impact this world? And then how will we, in a 2020 coronavirus crisis around the world, people are troubled. And people are wondering what's going to be next. And so I want to bring some thoughts to our minds this morning as it relates to the reality in our world and the great call that God has given to His church. We have a special message to give to our world. We are living in solemn times. We are living in a time when God is calling for each and every one of us to be prepared and also to help prepare others for His soon coming. This is not just any and any course. We can graduate from a university, college, whatever institute with great honor and great degrees. And many times we can go out there to work in some great enterprises, but I want to suggest and submit to us today that by studying and being prepared as missionaries for Christ, it is the greatest call that God has given to us. It is the greatest. It is the greatest. Jesus came to this earth. And there is something that I like in Matthew chapter 4 verse 23, following or in His footsteps, it states, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." And then Matthew chapter 9 verse 35, we see the very similar verse where it says, "And Jesus went about all the villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." We see the very similar pattern. Jesus, His message, His work was largely teaching, preaching, and healing the people. We are told that Christ spent much of His time healing, then preaching. Why? Because by healing the people and reaching out with compassion to the needs of mankind, their hearts are opened for the gospel message. And so when you look back on what I mentioned earlier with the catastrophes in our world today, Christ is opening up the doors or opening up doors so that we can truly proclaim the final message for this time. He is preparing the way for us. It is almost as if Christ is opening up the doors and He's saying, "I have opened the way and things are ready for you to go forward." Look at what this quote says in Medical Ministry, the book Medical Ministry. It says, "The gospel of health is to be firmly linked with the ministry of the word. It is the Lord's design that the restoration or restoring influence of health reform shall be a part of the last great effort to proclaim the message or the gospel message." Christ has linked up and bound together the message of health with the proclamation of the gospel, the preaching of the word, reaching out with compassion to people. This is the great need in our world today. Look at this other quote. "If we would elevate the moral standards in any country where we may be called to go, as we heard, I will go, we must begin with their physical habits." Isn't that interesting? We can be interested in preaching. We can be interested in having the evangelistic campaigns, but look at what is written for us. If we would elevate the moral standard in how many country? Any country at all. Wherever Christ leads you, wherever He calls you to go, notice the first work that needs to be done. It says, we must begin by correcting their what? Their physical habits. Make no mistake about it, beloved friends. Christ has called us to walk in His footsteps. He gave us the great example while He walked on this earth. He ministered to the needs of people. Now, you all should know this quote very well from Ministry of Healing. Christ's method alone will do what? Give true success to who, Eddie? To reach the people. Reaching the people. The Savior mingled with man as one who does what? Desired their good. He did what? He showed sympathy, He ministered to their needs, and then He did what now? Oh, well, he won their confidence, and then what? He called them? Following. You know it well. Now, this is the call that Christ has given to us. His method alone. In our world today, there are many methods in reaching the people, but there is one method that will give true success to your work. Make no mistake about it. I remember many years ago, some friends and I don't know if I shared this with some of you in my class, but we have a lot of people today. Some friends and I got a call to go to Europe. We went to Hungary. And we were there, and the people said, we are not interested in any gospel and any preaching. We're not interested in any Bible study. All we're interested in is health. So we want to invite all of you to come and give us some seminars in mental health. And they wanted to do some juicing. They like juicing over there. So they wanted to do a 10-day juice fast. Well, after 3 days, I thought I couldn't do any more because the wind would blow me away. So I thought perhaps that was more for others. What I did a couple of days, it was refreshing. But these folks are so interested in juice fasts and all these health presentations. And as we were presenting day by day, the folks are getting more and more interested. They are wanting to know more and how they can take care of their bodies. And as we address the needs, the physical habits, as we try to correct this, we try to help the people. It was funny, because after about the fifth day, they came to us and they asked us, why do you all do these things? Watch it now. You see, we are not doing some paid seminars. It's different if you go to a place and you're doing, some seminars and people are paying for it. Well, that's it. You go and you pay and you enjoy your seminars. They were wondering how could we be there all day, every day, giving these seminars, sharing about health and being kind and loving to them. What's behind all of this, they asked us. And so, we prayed every day because since they were not interested in Bible studies and preaching, we decided we will focus on health. And as we minister to them, as we reach out to them with health, and as they ask, we decided that we would would tell them why we do these things. But we asked them to promise us something. That if we tell them really what's in us and why, what has driven us to do this, if they will still continue to listen to us. And they and so we had to explain to them very clearly that we have a model. We have someone that did these very same things while he was here on this earth, and all we're doing is walking in his footsteps. And as we proclaim to them, as we explain to them, as we open the Bible, share with them how Jesus ministered to the needs of people, how he healed the people, and that's exactly what he wants to do for them, then they said to us, okay, what we want you all to do is not just to continue with health presentations, but we want a devotional thought every morning, at midday, and at the end of the day. And so at the end of the day, we were doing 3 talks on health, the gospel, and I want to submit that after 10 days we were having Bible studies with these people. The work of a medical missionary, it is not any and any type of work. When we go in the footsteps of Jesus, he will always empower and he will always open opportunities so that we will minister and work just like our Savior Jesus Christ. Don't be afraid. If you're wondering or perhaps you're worried, how will this work? Don't be afraid, because it is not any strange thing. The message or the work of the medical missionary. You know, we live in a society today when we think about emojis so much. You know, the gospel message really, it is the compassion of Christ. Medical missionary work is the compassion of Christ. Medical missionary work is living and meeting the simple needs of people. Their immediate needs. Their felt needs. They're feeling something. Something is going on with them. They need someone to touch them. Perhaps a massage. Perhaps a little hydrotherapy. This is all preaching the gospel. This, or medical missionary work, is the gospel in practice. We think that the gospel is all about preaching. No, the gospel linked with medical missionary work or meeting the needs of people is the gospel practice. And in our day, we could easily say it is the emoji of the gospel. Yes, it is the emoji of the gospel. How many people use emojis without saying much words nowadays? Yeah. There are people without saying much things, they just use an emoji to say what I'm really saying. And that's what the gospel is all about. Medical missionary work is the emoji of the gospel. So, without preaching the word, you go and you minister to people, they see how you treat them, and then that is the gospel to them. That's the emoji of the gospel. And that's what Christ has called us to do. Now, my friends, somehow you may be wondering, well, how will I do this work? How will I be able to perform this work? I want to bring a story to your mind. In the book of Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8, the Bible states, "And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." God was calling his people to make a sanctuary that he may dwell among them. Now I want you to notice the next verse. Because whenever God asks us to do something, he gives us all the tools and he gives us the example that we need in order to do that thing. So never feel afraid, never think that you can't do it, never feel that it is, I don't know what to do, how to do this. Christ called his people in the desert, "Make me a sanctuary." Look at verse 9. "According to all that I shew thee," after what now? "The pattern of the tabernacle, and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall he make it." Now what do you see in this verse? He asked them to make a sanctuary, but what he did before? He showed them the pattern. He showed Moses the pattern, so that asking them to build, it wasn't like they're going to invent some kind of strange thing. No, he showed the pattern. What I'm trying to say to you today, Jesus came, he showed us the pattern on how to work as a medical missionary. He's not asking us to do anything strange. He's not asking us to do something that we cannot look in the Bible and see his example. So, I suggest today, especially those who are graduating, those who are finishing your course, in fact, there's no graduation on this earth in the work of the Lord. Let me correct that. Actually, you're just passed through one of the steps in the work that God has called you to do. And so please remember, as we move forward in the footsteps of Jesus, we need not to wonder, how will I, how can I? He has given us the example. He's our pattern. He's our model. And if we only look to Jesus, if we only look at what he did, we will see the big difference that this is no new work. It is the work that God has given, and Jesus came and lived and did this work. And so I want to bring this, just close it off. But I want to share a few quotes and a few things here from the book of Revelation, because I believe this with all my heart, that we are close to this time. Revelation chapter 18, we have a beautiful description. Revelation chapter 14, we have the three angels' messages. But somehow, it seems as if God wanted another angel to be involved. So in Revelation chapter 14, we have the three angels' messages. But in Revelation chapter 18, we see this other angel came down. It says, and John saw another. Notice it says another. It didn't say, oh, John saw the angel. It's in another, referring a little bit to what had taken place before. So in chapter 14, we see the three angels' messages. And as we come down, Revelation chapter 18, another mighty, notice the word, another mighty angel come down from heaven. What he did? So we, one, another mighty angel. Number two, the earth was lightened with his glory. Now friends, should we be looking for some angel coming down? We're not looking for that. Why? Because we are the ones that God will use to lighten this earth with his glory. What is the glory of Christ? Come on, help me. What is the glory of Christ? It is his character. So Christ now, what he's trying to do is that his character will be revealed in us, and when the character of Christ is fully revealed in his people, he will come and take us that we will be with him. So what we're waiting for on this earth, the character of Christ will be revealed in all of us. Then number three, he cried mightily with a strong voice. Now if you're not in health, it's hard for you to cry mightily with a strong voice. If you're not in health, it's hard for you to proclaim the last message. That's why the message of health is so important in the final message, because God is preparing and waiting for a people that will live a healthy lifestyle and a people that will be strong physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. These people will cry with a loud voice proclaiming the last message in this world. That's our calling. And then number four, it says, appeal to God's people to come out. You know, it was the call. Part of the call is for us. Some of us may not be doing things that God would have us to do, and he's saying, come out. Come on. Put things together in order to finish the work. And then as we look in Exodus chapter 33, we see the thought of the glory of God. What is the glory of God? It is God's goodness. It is God's name. It is God's grace. It is his mercy. This is the glory of God. When we do medical missionary work, we are proclaiming the mercies of God. We are proclaiming the grace of God. We are proclaiming the goodness of God. And then in Exodus, Moses asks, God, show me your glory. And he says, look, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiveness and justice, all these things is the glory of God. And so when we do medical missionary work, we should reveal the goodness of God. And so look at this. I want to encourage you from 8 Testimonies 53. It says, reflecting on Revelation chapter 18, look at what the servant of God states. When the Lord sees his people restricting their imaginary wants and practicing self-denial, not in a mournful, regretful spirit, as Lot's wife left Sodom, but joyfully for Christ's sake and because it is the right thing to do, the work will go forward with what now? With power. You understand what it's really saying there? Sometimes we think about the work of God, and like Lot's wife, we think, oh man, it is so hard. We think it is so difficult. We think, oh, how can we do this? It says it's almost a mournful way. People mourning, and when there is no self-denial, but whenever we forget about ourselves, and we forget about how we feel, then God will use us when we move forward joyfully in the work of Christ. Look at what it says, that the work will go forward with power. Let nothing, however dear, however loved, absorb your mind and affections, diverting you from the study of God's word or from earnest prayer. Watch unto prayer. Live your own requests. Cooperate with God. Students, hear me now. Cooperate with God by working in harmony with him. Expel from the soul temple everything that assumes the form of an idol. Now it's God's time. Can somebody say amen? Now is God's time. And his time is your time. Fight the good fight of faith. Refusing to think or to talk unbelief. The world is to hear the last warning message. And I believe with all my heart that the time is now. I believe with all my heart that God has called you for such a time as this. God has called all of us in this world to impact and to make a big difference. I remember years ago, I shared some of my stories with some of you in class, but I remember years ago, I was only 17 years old, and I was wondering, what's the next step for me? And maybe you're thinking today, you're not sure what's going to be the next step. But I say, anytime we pray and ask God to guide, he will always guide our lives. And I asked God, what's the next step? I started studying. I was thinking about theology. But somehow, as I read through the entire book of Ministry of Healing, I spent some, perhaps in a month, I went through the entire book. Because I got so interested in the book, and as I look at the master, our role model, Jesus Christ, and the work he did, and as I study, and I study the book education as well, the Lord was impressing my heart. We need more missionaries and young people in our work. And I decided I'm going to give it my all to Jesus. I decided I will follow in his footsteps. I will give everything for him. And I also asked him, Lord, if you really want me to do this, I have a request, Lord. I want to travel all around the world. Yes, I did. I did. I asked him for it. Is there anything too hard for God to do? No. I asked him. I said, Lord, I want to go to all the continents of the world, obviously, if it's your will. But I had this desire. I want to work. I want to go. I want to do all that I can for God. And do you know that he did it? Yeah. He's done it. And there's one other continent. I said, Lord, I'm just waiting. Oceania, yeah, somewhere down under. That's the last one. I don't know. Let's see if he's willing. Then we'll do it. But my point this morning is don't be afraid to give your life to God entirely. That he will guide and bless and direct you. I want to share a story because of these friends of mine. They were in Kazakhstan the other day, and they sent me this picture. And these are my friends. The couple, they went to Kazakhstan. This young lady, she's from Brazil, Rio de Janeiro. She's from Brazil, and she decided to leave all that she knew in Brazil, leave Portuguese. Leave her family, leave her country, leave her food. She left all of that and she went to Kazakhstan to be a missionary. Now that's an all new world or new place altogether. So my friends told me this story. They were telling me that she was so excited. And even though everything was so new, she said, I'm following in the footsteps of Christ and I want to give my best for Jesus Christ. And it's amazing what God is doing in her life over there. I tell you the truth, there is nothing too hard for God to do when we commit and submit our lives to him. And I finish this quote. Look at what it says. God's servants who are doing genuine medical missionary work have a most solemn, sacred responsibility resting upon them to keep in view Christ's life of unselfish what? Service. They should turn their eyes from everything else and look unto Jesus. The author and finisher of their faith. He is the source of all light, the fountain of all heaven's blessings. To every medical missionary worker, I am instructed to say, follow your leader. He is the way, the truth, the life, and light. He is the one whose example we as true medical missionaries must follow. Follow your leader. Walk in his footsteps. Jesus has given us a great example. Remember, it comes with self-sacrifice. It comes with abnegation. It comes with total surrender. It comes with a whole lot of time forgetting about our needs and our wants and forgetting about the things that we like. As you submit to Christ, as you give your all to him, remember this, the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Did Christ suffer in this world while doing medical missionary work? He gave everything for us. And so if we are called to suffer a little bit, if we're called to go through some tough times, don't run away from your mission because it's tough. Don't. It may be tough at times, but it's always rewarding. We remember that Christ suffered, and we may suffer. Not may, but we will be suffered. Well, we will suffer at times in our work. But I want to encourage you with this quote here from John Wesley. Catch on fire with enthusiasm, and people will come for miles to watch you burn. Catch on fire with enthusiasm. Be enthusiastic about what you do. Don't go about saying, oh, I'm just a little missionary. As if God is not with his missionaries. I've seen people go around the world and claim missionary work as if it's some low-down work. We read it. It is a sacred work. And it was actually originated by God, we are told. So go with God, wherever He leads you. And don't forget this now. Don't take a boat where God meant for you to walk. There are things God wants us to do, but we have something else in mind. I want to encourage you, stay with God's plan. Stick with His plan. Never forget that He is your leader. And if He calls you to do something, don't doubt the will of God. And we may be qualified by many teachers and many institutes of this world, but I finish my presentation by saying to you this morning, don't forget this quote. This is the consecration quote, if you please. Councils on Miracle Evangelism, page 30. God has qualified. Who has qualified? God has qualified you. So when you think about the work that God has called you to do, Eddie, God has qualified you. Mercha, God has qualified you. Don't forget it, April. God has qualified you. How about you, Anna? God has qualified you. Rosalie, remember that every day. God has qualified you. What about Thoreen? God has qualified you as well. Jamie, don't forget it. Every day, Chris, you keep it in mind. God has qualified you. Rhonda, I remember you. And Kathy too, yeah. God has qualified you 10. God has qualified His people to enlighten the world. Do you believe it? He has qualified you to enlighten the world. Look at this now. He has entrusted. Wow, that's a big one now. That's a big one. He has given you. He has poured it into your hands. He has entrusted them, you and I, with faculties by which we are to extend His work until it shall encircle the globe. You see why I'm passionate about the globe? Because of this quote. I read it years ago and it never leave my heart. He has qualified us to encircle the globe with this message in all parts of the earth. They are to establish sanitariums or lifestyle centers. We know the more common or modern name. Lifestyle centers or centers of health. Schools, mission schools, publishing houses, and kindred facilities for the accomplishment of His work. This is the great and the amazing call from heaven for us today. And then look at what it says. The closing message of the gospel is to be carried to every nation, every kindred, tongue, and people. In foreign countries, many enterprises for the advancement of this message must yet be begun and carried forward. The opening of hygienic restaurants and treatment rooms and the establishment of sanitariums or lifestyle centers for the care of the sick and the suffering is just as necessary in Europe as in America, in Central America, in Africa, way down under in Australia, in all parts of the world, not just Europe and America. In many lands, medical missions are to be established to act as God's helping hand in ministering to the afflicted. Somebody should say amen. What a call. It takes everything and a full consecration to live this call. Look to Jesus, not to yourself. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. And if you're at a stage in your life, you just finished your course, but you're out there and you're wondering, I don't know where and when. I really don't know what fully is your call. Just look to Him and ask Him to guide you. Just ask the Lord to guide you, beloved friends. Young people, I appeal to all of you today, because our world is coming to an end. And God is calling upon all of us to put all our energy in the work of Christ. You know, I was studying in Genesis, the account with Noah. In the book Patriarchs and Prophets. And it says, Noah invested all that he had in the building of the ark. Because he believed with all his heart that this was the most important work for him to do. And so invested everything into it. I appeal to us as a people today, not just to all graduates, but to all of us, that we invest our everything in the work of God. There's not much time. And God is calling His people to come together. God is calling us to invest everything for His work. Because very soon, a friend of mine last night, we were talking, and he said to me, "Don't forget that very soon the work that the church has failed to do in time of peace, we'll have to do it in the toughest circumstances." And so we have a little time now. Let's give our all for Jesus. Let's give our all for Him. This morning, my friend that went to Kazakhstan called me, and he said to me, "Don't forget to tell the students that there's so much calls in our world today." He said, "Right now I just received a call yesterday from Kazakhstan asking how much more people, do we have more people that we can send?" And this is all over the world, the calls are coming in. And so God is saying, be ready. I want you all to enlighten the world with my glory. May God bless all of you.